Yo, what's good, Knicks fans? I am Ja, so focused.
I'm French, the bro host, and we would like to welcome you to
the Knicks Take Podcast.
This is episode 70.
And this is a weekly podcast where we give you the biggest Knicks news of the week.
Make sure you're following us on our socials. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok You could find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter /X by searching for the Knicks Take.
Also, make sure you check us out at our website, knickstake.com.
And if you love what you hear, please subscribe and hit the notification bell on the platform that you're listening to us on. Sorry, I always mess that part up. If you love what you're listening to us on,
if you love what you hear, please make sure to subscribe on the platform that you're watching or listening to us on.
And hit the thumbs up button and the notification bell if you're watching on YouTube. And most importantly, share this with any fellow Knicks fans who might enjoy the show.
Thanks, French. Knock that right out of the park.
And now the show.
All right. I'm not cutting none of that. The Knicks Take Podcast. What it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew, thought I was falling off. Blessings keep on falling through. Oh, don't panic, dog. Grow a boo. I can't lose. No, I can't lose. Alright, y'all. I am fresh out of the sick bed to give you guys this week's episode. Gotta apologize for last week's episode coming out late. Should be releasing right before this one. We're gonna gap out the episodes so that you guys can see both of them on the same day, which will be tomorrow as we are recording this. And if it doesn't come out tomorrow, it'll definitely come out. One is gonna come out tomorrow, one will come out Wednesday.
Right.
On this episode, episode 70 of the Knicks Take Podcast, I know what you guys have all been waiting for. Our thoughts on the OG Adenobi trade. That is going to be the first thing that we talk about. We're going to switch it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Then, after we say our piece on OG, we are going to discuss the past week's games where the Knicks played against the Indiana Pacers. We weren't able to cover that recap on the last episode.
Yeah.
Then we'd go over the Knicks versus the Timberwolves, the Bulls, the Sixers, and the Wizards and tell you guys what happened in those games. Then we're going to do a preview of the upcoming games. And let's talk about the main topic, the thing that we are just itching to discuss.
The show's going to be packed full of stuff, so just stick around. And like you said, the OG and Anobi trade happened as soon as we finished recording. You didn't say that, but
I said that when on the little clip that we put out, right as we finished recording.
So, like, we had a week to sit with it. We had a week to see how OG Anunoby looks in the Knicks roster, playing the games, and we definitely have a lot to talk about. So let's get right into it.
The trade was the Knicks traded RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley, and Detroit's 2024 second round draft pick, which is probably going to be the 31st draft pick.
Most likely, yeah.
For OG Anunoby, Precious Achiuwa, and Malachi Flynn. Now, that trade was actually split up into two parts. And half of the trade is the Knicks trading away RJ Barrett. The second part of the trade was Knicks sending away Emmanuel Quickley. In one of those trades, Knicks got back a traded player exception. And in the other part of the trade, the Raptors got a trade player exception. So I thought it was very weird when I heard that news. Like, how did both teams get a trade player exception? And it was broke down, and I kind of understood it afterward. But anyway, French, what are your thoughts on the trade? What were your thoughts before any games had been played?
I'm outraged because I don't know what a trade player exception really is. But outside of that, I felt like this was a perfect trade. Why can't I speak today? I felt like this was a perfect trade for both sides. The Knicks didn't really have to give up any first-round picks. And in return, they got the most elite 3-and-D wing in the NBA, in my opinion.
Okay.
He addresses everything that we've needed because, like, in the last episode, I was so frustrated with RJ because I felt like as a third option, all I really wanted from him was to just compliment his teammates by being a better catch and shoot threat, stop going tunnel zone all the time, trying to score, and focus on what his stat line looking like rather than just doing what is best for the team to help get the win. Mm-hmm. And an hour after I said all that, we trade for a player who's going to do exactly everything that I wanted from RJ.
Right.
On top of the fact that he's one of the most versatile lockdown defenders in the NBA. And it's not that he can guard all five positions. It's that he does guard all five positions. In Toronto, you would see him guarding Embiid one night. Next night, he's guarding Kyrie.
Yep.
Luka probably the same night. And we're going to speak about it in the games that he just...
He just played in
for the Knicks this week. So we got to see it firsthand, but I love this trade. Mm-hmm. I feel like it addresses everything that we've needed for a while. And like, you see how the Knicks have needed a point guard for decades. I feel like we've also needed a player with this prototype for decades as well, because we've never had an elite 3-and-D wing on the Knicks.
Absolutely. The two things that the Knicks clearly needed over the past five, actually we can go past beyond 5 years.
30?
But two things that Knicks fans have been clamoring for years. One was a point guard. Mm-hmm. And not just any point guard, a good point guard. Mm-hmm. Right? With the point guard that was promised. Right? We've been waiting for that. We've been hoping that we'd get it from drafts. We drafted Frank Ntilikina in hopes that he was that guy. We traded for Kemba Walker in hopes that he was that guy.
And we also thought that Ntilikina would be the 3-and-D wing also.
Right. And when that was the other piece that we've been looking for. We need that guy, and we need the wing who, the 3-and-D wing, the prototypical guy who can score and can knock down a three-point shot, but can also defend the other team's best player. Mm-hmm. And for years, we've been clamoring for a guy who was up to snuff for New York Knicks basketball. And we've always swung and missed. We've missed out on guys hoping that, Kevin Knox is that guy. Frank Ntilikina is that guy. Cam Reddish is that guy. And finally, we have a Jalen Brunson, who is definitely one of the best point guards in the league. Hopefully he will be an all-star this year. And I don't know how long I want to go on my little diatribe about Brunson, but let me just say that he is making an argument to have a lot more votes to be that starting guard than some of the guys who are ahead of him.
We're going to talk about him a lot this episode, so you ain't got to talk too much about him.
And then OG Anunoby, the guy, he is literally the only player in the NBA. I can't really think of another one. If you can name two, I would be shocked.
Okay. I'm listening.
Who can legitimately, like you just said, guard the opposing team's best point guard and the other opposing team's best center. That is value beyond value. I want to quickly talk about, let's have that discussion on the air now.
Okay.
We had an argument the other day, French, where after the game that we're going to discuss.
Okay.
Where we were talking about, the best player in the trade is Emmanuel Quickly. So the Knicks lost the trade and you were highly upset. So let me give you your moment here to talk about why you feel like it's ridiculous for people to say Emmanuel Quickly is the best player in the trade.
Highly upset is a little strong, but I didn't understand the people who were saying that the Knicks got fleeced, talking about Emmanuel Quickly is going to be the best player in this trade, because Emmanuel Quickly, for the Knicks, the most that he was ever going to be was a top bench scoring option. Mm-hmm. That can easily be replaced. The sixth man of the year contender can easily be, not easily be replaced, but it can be replaced so much more easier than a guy like OG Anunoby can be replaced. Mm-hmm. And I remember you were telling me, and I kept seeing this on Twitter, that the Raptors had a glutton of wings. They had a bunch of wings who they can rely on to do the same types of things that OG did. And I'm just like, are you sure about that? Scottie Barnes is good and all that, but can he guard 1-5? Can he be a reliable catch and shoot corner shooter on your team? Like, the Toronto Raptors' biggest issues was shooting, and they talk about they addressed that shooting with RJ and quickly in this trade, but if you remember, the Knicks were struggling to shoot with them two in the lineup, so... How much, like, I understand they fit that team a lot better than they fit this team. Emmanuel Quigley is going to get the chance to start and be the starting point guard that he's capable of being, and he's shown that he's capable of being for the Knicks. Anytime Brunson was injured, Quigley would be the starting point guard and he would have some of his best games. But if you're looking at Emmanuel Quigley as a starter in the NBA, I don't see All-Star, at least right now. I see a very high-level role player. You feel what I'm saying? If you're going to stack him up against the other point guards in the East, you wouldn't put him top 10. And I don't see that changing unless he becomes a 25-point-per-game scorer. And I don't know if I see that for Emmanuel Quigley. With OG Anunoby, you don't need him to be a 25-point-per-game scorer to recognize the value that he has. Like you just said, there's not many other players in the NBA that you can compare him to in today's game because he's one of one. There's not many guys that can guard the point guard, give them trouble, guard the center, give them trouble, guard the wing, give them trouble, and also knock down threes at a high rate, especially the corner threes, which is what Tom Thibodeau likes to emphasize in his offense. And we haven't been able to utilize that because of the fact that we haven't had reliable corner shooters. Dante DiVincenzo is having like his best shooting year of his career. And you would think that makes the game easier for RJ, but he wasn't able to succeed in that role. OG Anunoby, that role is perfect for him. So I think it's going to make OG Anunoby look a lot better with the Knicks than he looked with Toronto because he has a role that's tailor-made for him on this offense. And he has a coach that's going to make sure to squeeze all the defensive juice out of him for sure, because when you have a guy like that on the roster, you ain't going to see no substitutions where previously in the Oklahoma City game, we were talking about IQ. He was hot and they pulled him out for RJ, and it was only because RJ had the size to possibly slow Oklahoma City down. But now that you have OG Anunoby, you don't have to really sacrifice anything, really, because he's a starter. And I mean, he's going to be in the lineup throughout the game. And as you've seen this week, like, it looked very good.
I wouldn't say that you're not sacrificing anything. And I'll point to something you said. OG Anunoby's three-point shooting specifically.
Okay.
And you say, I don't know if RJ and Quigley are replacing OG's three-point shooting. It's very clear. Well, we have to be very clear when we say things. There's different measures for three-point shooting. Every three-point shot is not equivalent. And where OG Anunoby is great at is three-point shooting from the corners, specifically, and really only that. We not counting on OG to do pull-up threes. We not counting on OG to take threes off of the pick and, well, you know, off the pick and pop or pick and roll or whatever. He's very limited, and he doesn't really, or at least from what I've seen, he's not putting up threes at that big of a clip. And it's specifically because he's very limited in that role. And he basically has to go to the corner and wait for the ball to come to him. And you know, from what we've seen, or at least from what I've seen, it's bad. It's bad for him and it's bad for the Knicks that he's so limited. Go ahead.
Quick point.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said that it was divided into two trades. So the way I'm going to look at it is, were we looking at RJ Barrett to make pull-up threes and all this type of stuff? Like, we weren't.
We weren't looking. If he could do it, we would be looking for him to do it. Right, if he was good at it, we wouldn't care. Well, and he has tried to do it, and sometimes it's looked good and sometimes it's looked bad. He has the option. The fact that RJ had the option to pull up means that if OG could do it, he would be in that same role as RJ, right? He would take those same, he would be able to take those same shots, and you would hope that he would make them at a better clip. The problem is that OG can only do corner threes, you know, or other pull up, not pull up, catch and shoot threes. And that's pretty much the limit for him. You barely can use him in different roles. So
I just want to address that one thing. I don't mean to keep interrupting, but if Mitchell Robinson could make pull-up threes, we'd want to utilize that more. But RJ Barrett couldn't make catch and shoot threes. He couldn't make off the dribble threes, pull-up threes.
It's
so
not that it's not that he couldn't consistently, do it. It's that he couldn't do it consistently and efficiently.
Right.
And who knows if that ever gets fixed. Let's be honest. If RJ is the same player for the rest of his career, the rest of his career is not going to last that long. But the fact of the matter is, we have seen RJ Barrett do these things: pull up threes, catch and shoot threes, threes off of the pick. He's not limited, right? He works on all of these things. And I'm assuming he's working on all of these things because he knows that at some point he'll be able to do them at a consistent enough rate that he'll be Star J, as a lot of fans try to call him. And that's not something that we're ever going to see from OG Anunoby. I think we can say that without a doubt. We're not going to see OG try to do the things that RG is going to do, and maybe RJ is going to do. And maybe that's for the better. If RJ ever does find consistency in doing those things, he will come out as the best player in the trade. And Emmanuel quickly.
It never came for him. I don't see it coming.
Yeah, but he...
You got to make the stand still catch and shoot ones before you can start doing all these extra cute ones.
Correct. But RJ is in his fifth year, and he was, 18, 19 when he got drafted? Mm-hmm. So,
and I know he's not like 25, 26 too.
Well, yes, but OG knows what he is. We all know what OG is, or we know what his role is. OG may want a little, when he was in the Raptors, he wanted a little bit of a bigger role. But as a Knick, we know what we want him to do. Even what we want him to do, we are limiting him. That's the other part of it. There's been so many times when he's been in the corner and he didn't get the ball so far. I'm not going to bring up that stuff when we go into recap, so that's why I'm bringing it up now. There's so many times where he's just in the corner and that's it. Like, he's looking hands up, and whoever has the ball is either driving or they're pulling up and they're ignoring him. And we have to get him more engaged and more. You have to maximize that thing that he does. He's great at the three-point corner shot. That means if he's ever open, you need to be trying to see if you can get him the ball in the corner, because that is the best shot that you can get. And the Knicks aren't doing that right now. Uh-huh. At the very least, RJ Barrett, while he may have been poor, we let him have some opportunity, especially running with the bench unit, to do the things that he can do. Be it if it was on nights that he was poor, that those things probably didn't help you. Yeah. But when it wasn't poor, they helped you, and that bench unit with RJ Barrett has been one of the best things for the Knicks all year. I don't want to stay on RJ too long, so I'm gonna let you say your last thing, and then I'm gonna move on to quickly.
Yeah, I was gonna say it came at the detriment of the team far more frequently than it came as a benefit.
Well, before he had the migraine, it was all benefit. There was no negative.
That was this season. I'm talking about as a whole of his career.
Like, even in the playoffs, when it was
two games.
It was more than two games. Let's relax. It was more than two games. It was a long enough stretch. He had one bad game. He had one bad game at the end, and he had one poor shooting game in the beginning, and everything in between was mostly good. And then the FIBA tournament, and then the first seven games of the year.
One good Miami game, but go ahead.
Okay. We'll debate that another time when we have the time to actually talk about it.
We got a long episode.
Quickly's offensive game is also not as limited as OG Anunoby. And while you are correct in saying that he's destined to be a role player on the Knicks as long as Jalen Brunson was the starting point guard and as long as Tom Thibodeau was the head coach, his role was always going to be limited. The flip side to that, if you're looking at it from the other end, is that Emmanuel Quickley might not be a bench point guard. He might be a starting point guard. And starting point guards are not a dime a dozen. If he's a legitimate starting point guard, and that is not a dime a dozen, you can pick up a role-playing point guard anywhere on the street. And you might even pick him up from, you know, formerly starting point guards, a role-playing bench point guard. Emmanuel Quickley is 24 years old. He has shown in games that Jalen Brunson hasn't played that he can be a starting point guard and a damn good one. And that was part of my argument when we had this discussion the other day, French, is that it's not something that you can compare and really say one way or another who got the best part of the deal, who is going to come out the best, because it was all fit based. Right. And I think this is where we also agreed. OG Anunoby was the best fit for the Knicks, and Quickley and RJ would be the best fit for the Raptors.
Right.
So if you wanted to look at it from a certain lens, I can understand why you would say Emmanuel Quickley was the best player in the deal. On the other hand, for us as Knicks fans, we should be happy that we got OG Anunoby because he fits in like a Lego piece that just you put that in and that whole row is gone now, because what we were missing defensively in that starting lineup is exactly what he brings, and we see it in all the games that he's played thus far, for the most part.
I'm going to make one last point. I think the most unbiased way to look at it is if you think about it outside of just the Knicks and Raptors.
Okay.
OG Anunoby, his trade value last season warranted 3 first round picks from multiple teams. They offered that and they turned it down.
Yep.
I don't see any other team in the NBA that wouldn't be able to use OG Anunoby's talent.
Correct.
He fits on every team in the NBA. Every team would want him.
Yep.
The Memphis Grizzlies, they have wings on their team. Desmond Bane that we talked about before in our previous argument, he's a 3-and-D wing, but they were willing to give up 3 first-round picks for OG Anunoby. The Pacers, they were willing to give up multiple first-round picks for OG Anunoby. The Sixers, they were going to pursue him in free agency. I don't see the same level of... what am I thinking of? I don't see the rest of the NBA clamoring for RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley or that second round pick in the same way that they would be clamoring for OG Anunoby services.
And the reason for that is because, and that's why this is kind of a hard deal to kind of make these claims about who got the best out of the deal. Because we are trading theoretical upside, which has been flashed by both RJ Barrett and by Emmanuel Quickley. You've seen somebody wrote on Twitter the other day, I'm not posting again until the next RJ Barrett 30-point game. And a bunch of people was like, oh, I guess we're not going to see you ever again. And I looked, I said, no, I'm pretty sure he's had multiple 30-point games. And I did the research. In 2023 alone, he had 8, 9, 10 30-point games, and none of them had occurred in this season yet. So I'm like, he's overdue for a 30-point game, actually. Like, let's not, like, yeah, RJ Barrett has been inconsistent as hell, but let's not act like he can't, like, if he has it going, he can't drop 30 on a random night. Like, that is part of his upside, is to, not that he's going to drop 30 every night, but that he'll figure it out enough to, he gets back to that 20 point per game score that he was a couple of years ago. And so we're comparing theory and upside to a consistent high level player. And that is why it's so hard to make these claims about who, whatever. And you can't even discuss it seriously in that kind of way, because we won't know until we know. You have evidence to say RJ Barrett is going to be really good once he's not next to Julius Randle and he has a little bit more space to drive to the paint and do what he needs to do. You have evidence to say that Emmanuel Quickley has all-star upside as a point guard, you know, dropping 30 in Boston back when they were the top seed last year, doing it without Jalen Brunson, doing it, you know, for consistent, for continuous, a stretch amount of games. And we'll see now that the trade has happened. Well, like, we'll see at the end of the season. We'll see next year. And chances are it's going to just work out well for both teams. And that's really the only thing that anybody should really be saying. And like, it shouldn't be about who won the trade or who got the better of or who's the best player in the trade. Like, we'll see all of that as time comes in. But either way, it doesn't matter. The Knicks came away with the guy that they needed to make this starting lineup work well. And the Raptors got what they needed in offensive creation juice to be next to Scotty Barnes and players that can do more than catch the ball in the corner and shoot and defend, which this is not something you can find everywhere, like guaranteed, guard anybody that you want him to guard on the other team.
And still be able to impact the game even if they're not scoring 30 points.
Correct.
In a positive way. If Correct. RJ wasn't scoring 30 and he was just taking a bunch of shots, he wasn't really impacting the game in many other ways. Same could really be said about Quickley, but...
Right.
But I said that was going to be my last point.
Yep.
I don't want to take up too much time.
Yeah. Well, we got a chance to see what this Knicks team looked like without any of these guys.
Yep. And we saw that with the Knicks versus the Indiana Pacers. I'm going to do a real quick recap of this game because this ain't what we came for. So no RJ Barrett, no Emmanuel Quickley made this a tough game to get over the Indiana Pacers, who have broken out of their slump since the in-season tournament. And immediately you could see how the subtraction of Quickley from the bench lineup resulted in just a lot more looks for Quentin Grimes and Dante DiVincenzo. This game was pretty neck and neck throughout the first half. DiVincenzo was balling out, though. He had finished the game with 38 points. He was finding so many different ways to score. He hit 7 threes this game. He was getting 6 rebounds, 4 steals, 2 assists. Like, he just had the best game that he's had so far as a Knick.
Wasted
effort, but Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle both finished the night with 28 points, but they weren't the most efficient. They both got to the free throw line relatively around the same amount of times. Jalen Brunson was at the free throw line 9 times. He went 6 for 9. Randle went 13 times, 9 for 13. He also had 12 rebounds, 4 assists. And this was just a game where if we had a little bit more help, we probably could have closed this out. But Tyrese Haliburton balled out. It seemed like he had some animosity for Wally Szczerbiak. After Wally Szczerbiak called him out last year, saying that he was a fake all-star, how Brunson deserved it over him. Wally Szczerbiak was actually in the arena for this game. He was calling the game.
Mm-hmm.
And Haliburton looked over at him after the game was over. The Knicks lost 140-126. And Haliburton was staring down the Knicks announcer as he walked off.
I think he said something to him. I can't remember what I thought he said. But yeah. He was just like, what up, Wally, or something like that.
It wasn't revealed.
And it was like, you know... You know, I used to like say what up to somebody who you know is a hater.
Yeah.
What up, hater? You got something? What you saying? I'm not hooked? Oh, okay.
All right.
You go home and watch this on replay and tell me how you feel.
Well, I definitely didn't rewatch this game because I was just looking forward to that Timberwolves game. But what were your thoughts of this Indiana Pacers game?
Too much Evan Fournier, one. But
oh, yeah, I didn't even mention. He
had to play.
17 minutes.
He had to play.
Yep.
So it was like, okay, we just kind of have to deal with the Fournier minutes. And I thought he got too many minutes, even though you said 14 minutes?
17.
17 minutes. I thought it was too many minutes. I thought that you don't really realize, like, you remove RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley from that second unit, and just how poorly like you replace him with Deuce and Evan Fournier, and it's like, all right, we got Deuce, Evan Fournier, Josh Hart, who else was in that second unit?
Taj Gibson.
Taj Gibson.
That was it.
And it was like, yeah, these guys can't, especially with Evan Fournier as part of this unit, they just can't do what needs to be done.
Well, Josh Hart started, so it was only three guys off the bench. Fournier, McGrath,
right, but
Gibson.
When we think of the bench rotation, even when RJ was part of the bench rotation, it's four guys and RJ.
Yep.
And for that unit, it was those four guys and one of the starters. It was either, I can't remember who the starter was that played with them, but when they were out on the court and it was no Julius Randle and no Jalen Brunson, it was like, yeah, this is going to be a long night.
Yeah.
And it was a long night. They just couldn't sustain enough. Had I known that there was going to be a trade the day that we had this game, I would have definitely called this one a loss, because you can't, you know, even though these guys were not the best fit, they were still decent enough fit to make that second part of the unit, that bench rotation, one of the best bench rotations in the league.
Right.
And those were the two main parts of it offensively. And you're replacing them with Evan Fournier and Deuce McBride. And it's like, that's not going to cut it. You lost way too much. So
Deuce wasn't that bad, though. He only missed one shot. And only had 5 points, but it's a lot asking for him to just step into the rotation and replace Emmanuel.
You cannot replace Emmanuel quickly or RJ Barrett with Deuce McBride. You just can't. It wasn't bad, you're right. But you're asking them to replace two guys who just, they can get buckets, you know. They can get buckets if you need them to. Whether one of them does or doesn't is kind of a question of, you know, the night he's having, but at the very least, if you said, oh yeah, RJ Barrett played and he got 29 points, 28 points, 27 points, it's not going to be a shock. It's not going to be a surprise. I just told you he had a bunch of 30-point games just last year. So all in all, that's what you could see. That bench unit just really suffered without the pieces that they needed. So unless you have anything to say, we're going to move on to
the game that everyone really want to talk about.
The Knicks versus the Minnesota Timberwolves, a.k.a. the first game with OG Anunoby as a part of the New York Knicks rotation.
Yep, and I was at that game.
At the Garden. And he started this game defending Ant-Man, a.k.a. Anthony Edwards. And he also switched off to guard Karl-Anthony Towns, who sometimes play center. Well, so right there in this first game, you got to see just his defensive versatility, and you also got to see the effect that he had on that starting lineup. Now, I want to say that this is something that we're going to probably repeat, but I'm going to try not to repeat it for every game after this. Just no inserting him into that starting lineup has greatly improved the Knicks defense. They just gave up how many points to the Indiana Pacers? 140. And since then, I don't think we've let a single team score over 110. I know I'm kind of spoiling some of the upcoming games, but we're going to get through them quick.
Yeah.
OG's defense has supplanted what Mitchell Robinson and Quentin Grimes, we talked about in the last episode, what they brought to that starting lineup's defense. He has supplanted it. He has made us better. And this was this is the addition that is needed. And just imagine if we get Mitchell Robinson back some point before the playoffs, and you include Mitchell Robinson as the starting center with OG Anunoby as our three, and you still have Isaiah Hartenstein. Man, listen, reasons to be excited as a Knicks fan.
And I like Precious Achiuwa. We ain't even really talk about him, but
we don't have to. Okay. So the Knicks were in control for most of this game. The Timberwolves kept it close, though. Now, remember, like I said, the Timberwolves, one of the best teams in the Western Conference. I'm going to take I meant to do this before we started talking about the Timberwolves. I can't remember if they're number one or number two in the Western Conference.
At the time
of
this game, they were
number one.
Still? Okay.
Number one still in the Western Conference, even though the Denver Nuggets have one more win than them, they also have two more losses. So the Timberwolves are still number one in the Western Conference. And we're talking about somebody that I said has been getting some shouts as a potential NBA Finals contender. But don't listen to me.
I still don't see it. They only had 7 losses at the time of this game too, so.
Yeah, you know who had less losses than the Timberwolves at the time of this game?
Celtics.
And that was it. And the Celtics are definitely a title contender. So,
regular just something. Season,
yeah. Anyway, I thought OG looked very good offensively in this game. He was doing everything. He was cutting. He was getting to the rim. He was shooting, knocking down his corner threes. And, you know, this was just an exciting game from start to finish. OG fouled out. And when he did, I was kind of scared that, you know, okay, the Knicks might lose now without him because it was still pretty close at that point in the game.
Stupid foul calls.
Two stupid foul calls, actually. The fifth foul, especially, I thought was a non-call. And I thought that the Knicks should have did a challenge. They didn't. And I thought that they could have also challenged the sixth one. Tibbs decided to pocket his challenges for the night. And, you know, there's reasons, I guess, you could say that he should have done that. I kind of disagree, but it is what it is. It didn't have an effect on the outcome of the game. Knicks win 112 to 106. Jalen Brunson finished with 16 points, and it was not, I'm not even going to say it was an efficient game. It was a bad game. He shot 21% from the field, 11% from three. An overall bad game for Jalen Brunson offensively. But
I disagree.
He had 14 assists, which was really good. So, I understand why you disagree. It was a bad shooting game. I'll amend my statement. It was a very bad shooting game for Jalen Brunson. The reason why we have him on this team is for his shot making usually, but he didn't have it. He took 23 shots, probably 10 shots too many, but he made up for his bricks with some assists. His highest assist game all season and probably for his career.
I always want him to keep shooting. And also impact the game in ways outside of just his shots, which is what I think he did. He was still drawing charges. He was still getting his teammates involved. Not even still. This is season high for assists for him. So
yeah,
this is the most he's gotten his teammates involved since he's been a Knick so far. So I did feel like he struggled with his shot to fall, but he was taking a bunch of the same shots that he always takes. They just wasn't falling. Timberwolves is... I'm trying to think if at the time of this game, they were still the best defensive team in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
So it's understandable why he didn't have a great night, but...
He has a problem with length. Pause.
That was kind of crazy. But Julius Randle put the team on his shoulders.
Yep.
He had a tough little spin around fadeaway on Karl Towns that basically closed the game out. He finished the night with 39 points, 9 rebounds.
I forgot to bring up Julius Randle. That's another key point. Julius Randle, once he saw OG Anunoby on the team, it's like, oh man, nah, I gotta pick up my defense. Which I could go on a little rant right now, but we kind of pressed for time. But
yeah.
Why you didn't defend like this the entire season? So anyway.
Don't worry about that.
So anyway.
OG's here now. And he has 17 points for his debut. Led the whole game with plus 19, plus minus.
Yeah, he was definitely motivated in this game.
OG was just like showing how he's the perfect fit offensively and defensively. And that was just a preview of what the rest of the week would look like.
Okay.
Maybe not offensively, but... The way that we beat the first team in the NBA, and it seemed like the Knicks pretty much had the game from the first quarter down all the way to the fourth because they led the whole way.
Right.
The Timberwolves weren't that far away. They were just a little run behind, but only person that was really a threat the whole night was Anthony Edwards. He finished the night with 35 points. Karl Towns heated up a little bit later on, but for the first half, I'm sitting in the arena watching the scoreboard, and all I see is Anthony Edwards with 30-something points, and every other starter outside of Karl Towns had single digits.
I'm gonna correct really quickly. The Knicks didn't lead the whole way, but from midway through the second quarter for the rest of the game, the Knicks had the lead.
Yeah.
Did you have any thoughts being there live? I was kind of jealous that I couldn't watch it live, but you were able to see it. Was there anything that popped out of you out for you live watching the game?
Yeah, Rudy Gobert stinks. He sucks. I feel like he was dirt when I watched him on TV, but when you see him in person and how big he is compared to everybody else and he still can't score, It's like, what are you there for? I understand you great defensively, but Jesus Christ.
I didn't put him up to this, Ma. All right, so let's move on to the next game.
I got to be honest with the people now. Rudy Gobert, I gave up 4 first-round picks for him.
Yes, they did. It wasn't worth it.
Stinks.
It was worth it for them, I think, though. All right.
I was also at the next games, too, so I can just transition if you want.
Yeah, let's go. I was at this game, too.
I forgot. We both was there. So, the next game at Madison Square Garden, the Knicks faced off against the Bulls, and this was a nationally televised game on ESPN as well.
Random as hell.
So, ABC game, actually.
Yep.
So, the game didn't start till like 8:30.
Yep.
And that kind of had me sleepy, but I was excited to see OG's second game with the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
I knew, based off last episode, you heard me talking about the Bulls and how this should have been a runaway because they ain't really got nobody except DeRozan. I was proven correct. The first half started a little slow. The Knicks were down due to a lot of sloppy turnovers, but DeMar DeRozan was on a heater, so they led by like 5 points at halftime, if I'm not mistaken. DeRozan finished his game with 28 points. He was 10 for 13 from the field, but I don't remember ever seeing him miss. And
I did.
He might have missed a few shots.
It was barely.
Oh, actually, the only times that he did miss is when OG was guarding was on him.
Yep.
Yeah, so that just proves his worth.
No, he wasn't on him that often, but when he was, yeah.
Yeah, and outside of DeRozan, the Bulls' biggest problem once the starter sat down was that they got little to no production from the offense from the bench. And that's basically what got the Knicks back into this game in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
They were forcing a bunch of turnovers. Jalen Brunson had a bounce back game. He finished this night with 31 points. Continued to keep his teammates involved. He had 13 assists this game.
Mm-hmm.
And Andre Drummond, another starter for the Chicago Bulls. We always know him as a great rebounding big. Well, Isaiah Hartenstein started for the Knicks. And he put up 20 rebounds up on Andre Drummond.
You mean some dude named Hartenstein?
Some dude named Hartenstein. He also had a plus 32, by the way, 10 points, 7 offensive rebounds, and 5 blocks, just to throw that out there. So, Mitchell Robinson is our starting big man, but we got a decent backup who could just fill that role.
We got two of the best bigs in the league, and Isaiah Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson both playing the 5. Crazy.
Crazy. And outside of that, our leading scorer I didn't even mention, Julius Randle.
Why do you hate him?
35 points, 6 for 7 from the free throw line, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block.
Mm-hmm.
3 for 7 from 3. He balled out. He's a matchup nightmare for every team in the NBA, but especially for teams like Chicago, who just didn't have any answer for him. And OG Anunoby had a plus 35 in this game as well. And he didn't have the same scoring output that he had against the Minnesota Timberwolves. He only finished the game with 11 points, but he had 8 rebounds. And his impact on this game, you have to watch the game in order to see the effort that he puts in defensively, the way that he boxes out the center to make sure that Hartenstein can get these rebounds and helping just on a roll. Anytime, like, we weren't seeing this type of stuff early in the year. And he does all the little things to just help your team win. He gets a lot of deflections. I don't see how many steals he got. But, he had 2 steals this game to match Julius Randle. And it just seemed like the intensity that the Knicks played with in the second half was too much for Chicago to keep up with.
Mm-hmm.
So the Knicks won this game 116 to 100. All the starters scored in double digits. And Quentin Grimes seemed to be a little more comfortable off the bench. He hit a few threes, but it was just mainly the starters that brought this game home. What was your thoughts on this game?
I don't really have much more to add to what you had to say. The game was never really in doubt for us. As we were watching the game, we was actually talking about I don't know if I should say this because my mom's gonna watch, but he's talking about the spreads on the game.
Yeah,
yeah, like, oh yeah, let's see if OG gets this amount of points. Let's see if Randle gets this amount of assists. And I definitely was not taking this game. I was taking the game very lightly. I wasn't taking it seriously at all because I had no Like, after a certain point, it's like, okay, after the first game, all right, we shouldn't lose to the Bulls, but the Bulls have been playing good. Maybe that was kind of like a sleeper, you know, okay. The Timberwolves came out sleepy and didn't have enough to beat the Knicks. And no, then the Knicks came out and whipped them. So I'm just going to move right on to the next exciting game of the week.
The game of the week.
And this was the Knicks at the Philadelphia 76ers, an amazing Knicks game. Seriously, guys. If anything, if you're not watching any of the Knicks games, but you were listening to us and you need to pick a game or, you know, a few games to watch, make this one of them. If you love this team, go find a link and watch it, because it was a really good one.
Against the former MVP.
And he could be MVP again this season, too. And they're the third seed in the East, currently the third seed in the Eastern Conference. Some people may consider them like just outside of that title contender bubble. Some have them slightly in it, behind the Boston's and the Milwaukee's. And I'm gonna go through this real quick because we're kind of pressed for time, and because I don't want to spoil it too much for those of you who haven't watched the game. First quarter, I forgot that the Knicks were even down 10 in this game. That's how good the rest of this game was, really. At the end of the first quarter, Deuce McBride went off. He had 4 threes in the first quarter alone. And you know, he barely plays in the first quarter. Like, Jalen Brunson plays about 6 to 7, maybe 8 minutes. So Deuce only gets like 4 or 5. And he knocked down the same amount of threes that a lot of people hit in a whole game in the first quarter. Second quarter, it was all Brunson all day, baby. Brunson burner gave us the 20-point half lead at halftime. Just knocked down every single shot. You know, when we talk about Jalen Brunson being one of the best shot makers in the game, this quarter is why. He hits all kinds of shots from every angle, does all kinds of footwork, spin moves, all that stuff. And that second quarter is what ended up giving us a very sizable lead.
He wanted to make sure Deuce stayed on the bench.
Well, it didn't work. Philly had a run in the third quarter and got it, you know, close to, you know, they got close to cutting it below double digits. And then they just couldn't get over that hump. And then in the fourth quarter, Quentin Grimes, 19 points, all scored in the fourth quarter to help the Knicks secure the victory by... They got this lead up to 39 points. Yep. And I believe they got up to 39 points either right when Embiid was on the court or like seconds after he left the court. Yep. And when I didn't even point this out, Embiid has been on a streak of 30-point games with 10-plus rebounds. And he's been averaging more than 30 points. Like, 30 points has been his low. Like, and he hasn't hit 30 in a little while. He had to struggle to get to that 30 points. Like, the Knicks were up by 20 plus, 28, 30 points, and he was still trying to get that last bucket to go in so he could get out the game and keep the streak going. And Isaiah Hartenstein was blocking him at the rim, and Jalen Brunson was stealing the ball from him, and he was turning over the ball left and right. Like I said, guys, go watch this game. Yeah. Knicks beat the 76ers 128-92, blew the Sixers off of the court by 36 points. French in the additional...
In Philadelphia. Let's not leave that out.
In Philadelphia. Any additional thoughts?
We would have won by even more than 40 if the refs wasn't bailing Tyrese Maxey out, sending him to the free throw line as much. But yeah, this was just a great all-around game from Isaiah Hartenstein, in my opinion. He had 17 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks, 2 steals on the current MVP. Finished the night with a plus 26. I feel like he was one of the main reasons we won this game. Mm-hmm. The other reason we won this game was also due to Josh Hart. Yep. He came off the bench, grabbed 15 rebounds, 6 assists, had 10 points. In the first half, it was looking like he was going for a triple-double. He finished this night with a plus 46.
The highest plus-minus in all season.
Of all players.
From any player.
Of all players, our bench scorer,
I think Josh we've explained Hart. Plus-minus before, but plus-minus means when you're on the court, that's how much...
Your team
either goes up or goes down while you're on the court. So
that's just impressive for someone that only scored 10 points. Wait, that just goes to show all the effort that he plays with. He's a dog. He's hustling for loose balls, pause. And the fact that OG Anunoby, another night where he didn't have a huge scoring output. He had 11 points, 3 for 11 from the field, 4 for 4 from the free throw line. But his impact on this game was just also, like, I don't know. His impact on his team in general has just raised the defensive ceiling for this team, because nobody on the Sixers looked comfortable scoring. Tobias Harris finished the night 2 for 6 from the field. He left in the third quarter. Tyrese Maxey went 9 for 20 from the field. All-star player. Joel Embiid is the MVP caliber player. He finished with 30 points and 10 rebounds, but 10 for 23 from the field. Took 12 free throws to get to that 30 points. And he had a minus 29, which is the worst on his team. So this game was just incredible.
It sounds like you're trying to drag this out longer than I was intending to.
My bad. But this game was just nuts. Yeah. I was watching this game thinking it was going to go to OT, and we up by damn near 40 in the fourth quarter. After they cut the lead in the third, like, it sounds like it was a blowout from start to finish.
It wasn't.
The game was close in the fourth quarter. It was within almost 10 points. And then Quentin Grimes just went on the heater out of nowhere, going 4 for 9 from three. Three free throws, attacking the paint. Like, we've seen one thing that we couldn't have foreseen from this trade was how much it was going to help the other guys on the team elevate, get more minutes, get more playing time, get more touches. Quentin Grimes, we've seen him start the year off, have a bunch of games with donut.
Mm-hmm.
He's just out there as a starter, not getting no burn, get the ball, passing it right up, not taking no shots, and now he's able to put up 9 threes and
now he's able to
close
get those
the
minutes.
Game out.
He doesn't have to worry about getting pulled if he doesn't shoot the ball, which I'm not going to do my diatribe on Quentin Grimes, but let me just say that now that he doesn't feel that way, we get to see the real Quentin Grimes experience, the one that we saw last year and not the BS that we've been getting all year. Now he seems to have that confidence back now that he's not getting less minutes, and trading away those two guys gives him that opportunity. Same thing with Deuce McBride. He hasn't played he's played like basically no games except for blowouts. And now he's a regular part of the rotation, and now he can gather that rhythm that he wasn't getting before. And now we can see what he really is with extended minutes.
And this game was on the front end of a back-to-back.
Yep.
So,
you know how the back-to-backs go.
Yeah.
Usually on the second half of a back-to-back, people are expecting you to lose.
Yeah. Especially if you beat like a team like Philly, who's third in the East.
Emotional letdown.
And then you facing off against the Washington Wizards next, whose record is 6-29. Second worst team in the East.
Might want to play with your food after a game like that.
You might want to just, you already proved yourself. You beat the Sixers on national television.
Right.
Now we got to play the Washington Wizards. And the Knicks went to Washington and immediately put the hurt on the Wizards to start the game.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks led by 26, looking like they were about to rout the Wizards, just like they did the night before against the Sixers. Led by 20 at halftime. And McBride, he didn't have the same type of shooting night that he had the night before, but he definitely showed his impact on his game defensively. He had a huge putback dunk at the end of the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not certain if this is the game where he knocked the ball out of bounds, or was that Philly?
It was this game.
And like his presence on the floor, even though he's not scoring, it's just you feel his intensity. He's real pesky.
No.
That was Philly.
It was the Philly game, because now I'm thinking of the coach. It was a Philly game where he had the offensive impact in the first half, and then that was the defensive impact when he came back in the second half.
That's right. And then this game, he picked up right where he left off. He was giving them trouble. The bench scorers off the Wizards couldn't really get going. The Wizards, however, in the second half, they did cut the lead to 4. Kyle Kuzma was open for 3 every possession, it seemed like. The Knicks were sloppy with the ball. They starting to have like a little half of a quarter ever since this trade where they just get a little sloppy. They don't really look cohesive, and they start turning the ball over a little bit, letting teams get back into the game. Wizards cut the lead to 4 halfway through the third quarter, and as soon as it started to look like it was going to be a little doubtful, like maybe Maybe we're going to go into the fourth quarter with no lead or tied up. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, they made the game closer than Philly did.
Jalen Brunson. Him and Julius Randle just led the rest of the way to close this game out. Randle almost single-handedly ended the momentum that the Wizards were making when he got a steal, went on a fast break, did a two-hand dunk on Kyle Kuzma, I believe. Jalen Brunson was consistent the whole night. He ended the night with 33 points, 8 assists. Isaiah Hartenstein had another great game, 19 rebounds, 4 steals, 2 blocks, plus 26 on the plus minus. He had 8 points, almost had a nice little double-double. And Julius Randle finished this night, 39 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. This was just a good all-around win for the Knicks. OG Anunoby had another good, decent game. He didn't score over 10 points, but he was 4-for-7 from the field, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, or 1 steal, 2 assists. He's really unselfish. This was the game where it really showed how unselfish he is, because against a team like the Wizards is when you would think a guy would just go try to get all the points that he can.
I'm going to go get mine.
Yeah, like, that's what we used to see him from RJ. He going to try and go and get 45 points against the Wizards. Next thing you know, it's a tie game going into the fourth. But I don't want to shit on RJ. My bad.
You already did. The RJ call out was uncalled for.
My bad. But the Knicks win this game, 121-105. Another night where the top two scoring options score over 30 points for the Knicks. Got another huge game from Hartenstein. And the Knicks are streaking. 4-0 since the trade. The bench looks a lot more cohesive. The starters seem to outmatch every team that they've come across so far. And we mentioned the Wizards, number one in the West. No. Second best team in the East.
The Wizards are not.
No, I said...
The Timberwolves.
The Timberwolves, best number team in the West.
Yep.
Second best team in the whole NBA.
Yep.
Beat them on our home court. Philly, third best team in the East. Regardless of the record, they're looked at as the third best team in the East.
Yep.
Beat them by almost 40 points on their home court.
And worst then the loss two, that they've had all year.
Yeah, the two team, and they never lost a game by over 13 points at any stretch in the season.
More than doubled that.
And the Knicks
damn near tripled it.
That's what I'm saying. And then the other two teams, the Bulls and the Wizards, made quick work of them, showed them that they're not in our league. And
which I've been saying,
it's looking like we're going to keep this streak going.
Yep. Only thing I want to bring up, you know, since you keep saying why I don't like him, great makeup game. I didn't bring up his game against Philly. Like I said, you guys got to go watch it. It was a weird game, but it was a fun game. Made up for that game with the impressive performance. And I was expecting him to do that against the Wizards. At the beginning, it kind of looked like he was going to start struggling again and had me a little worried. But he figured it out. He did what we expect him to do. And let's move on to the preview of the upcoming games. So, Tuesday, tomorrow, January 9th, 2024, at 7:30 p.m. in the Garden, the Knicks will be playing the Portland Trail Blazers. The Blazers are 10-25, 4-6 in their last 10. They're pretty much bad at everything except for offensive rebounds, which, they are still ranked worse than the Knicks in offensive rebounds. They're dead last in assists. Knicks are second last in assists, but they also have Knicks also have a higher assist to turnover ratio because the Blazers turn over the ball pretty poorly, pretty frequently. And honestly, it's a wonder, like, how do they even have 10 wins? Like, they should have comparable records, which I guess they kind of do. They only have 6 more wins than like the Pistons or the Spurs, Wizards, teams like that.
Probably played the Spurs a few times.
But yeah, I wonder how they have 10 wins already. But I'm predicting a blowout win. What about you, French? It's kind of hard to say that you're gonna have a blowout win after we've had how many blowout wins this year, this week. But I don't. Yeah, blowout win. What about you?
I don't see anyone on this roster that gives me any cause for concern.
I agree.
Scoot Henderson looked like he's starting to figure it out. Malcolm Brogdon is a trade target.
Yep.
But outside of that, I ain't really worried. So the Knicks are going to win this game, possibly by like 45 points. Am I dragging it a little bit? They're going to win by at least 25 points. We're home. No threats on this team to really be concerned with.
Right.
We could possibly just move right on to the next game. What do you think?
Yes.
The Knicks are going to make a trip down to Dallas for January 11th, this Thursday at 8:30 p.m. at the American Airlines Center. Mavericks are 6 in the West, 6-4 in their last 10 games. They've been beating up on a bunch of sub-500 teams. They have Luka Doncic, who's one of the best young players in the NBA. Kyrie Irving's been balling. He has been scoring 29 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds.
No, that would be nine rebounds and 5 assists.
Over the last 3 games before they play the Grizzlies tomorrow, I predict OG Anunoby's going to have his work cut out for him guarding Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving this night. And unless they both have an outstanding scoring night, I don't even see this being a close game. So I'm predicting another Knicks blowout win. Maybe not blowout, at least 10, 15 points. What are your thoughts?
First of all, why are you predicting a blowout win? It's because you know I'm going to predict a blowout win?
I put that first.
I don't see blowout anywhere in red. So, yes, I'm going to assume that you saw me say it and now you want to match my energy, which is fine. Knicks are going to have a blowout win against the Dallas Mavericks because, as you just intimated, they've been beating up on bad teams. So that doesn't kind of scare me. They were playing very good to start the year. Mm-hmm. And they are playing much better defensively recently. Mm-hmm. So of all of my predictions, this is probably the one that I'm definitely most concerned about. But yeah, I do see a blowout win. We're going to put OG on Luka. Jalen Brunson is going to hunt Kyrie Irving. And is there somebody else I should be worried about?
Grant Williams.
Okay, Grant Williams. And Grant Williams is on the Mavericks. So yeah, blowout win. So unless you have something else you want to say about that, Knicks are going to play in their next game, the Memphis Grizzlies, on Saturday, the day that we are supposed to record. January 13th at 8 o'clock at the FedEx Forum. the Grizzlies have been much better teams since Ja Morant has been back. Early in the season, I was like, yo, how do all these teams are getting a smack on the Grizzlies with no Ja Morant? What's their center's name?
Adams.
Yeah.
Steven Adams.
Yeah. So they've been beating up on them, and we don't get to see them until 2024 after he comes back and has already got his rhythm back. But
count your blessings. Go to see D Rose.
We'll see. Morant missed Sunday's game against the Suns. He's got a sore shoulder, I believe. All that said, if it's just sore and they don't find anything additional, it should be safe to assume he'll play. Grizzlies will be on the second half of a back-to-back. They play the Clippers on Friday. So once again, I will be predicting a blowout win. 3 straight blowout wins. Could it be true? Well, if the Knicks blow out the Blazers, that'll be 3 straight right there. So maybe 5 straight blowout wins. What do you think, French?
Well, remember earlier this season I predicted that the Knicks was going to go on a big winning streak. I'm pretty certain it was this month of January, because when you look at the rest of this month, the Knicks ain't facing nobody crazy. The Knicks are facing Dallas, Memphis, and then we don't see a real formidable opponent until we see Denver on the 25th.
Uh-huh.
We could go on a streak, because you already know I'm predicting we're going to win this game, right?
I mean, you already...
Come on now.
You already made
the Memphis Grizzlies are not matching up with the Knicks.
Uh-huh.
We're going to get our payback on Orlando next week.
Okay.
I'm skipping ahead to next week's predictions, if y'all don't mind, because this streak is getting... It's starting to heat up.
I'm just going
to
list it. We got... after the Grizzlies is the Magic, Rockets, Wizards...
You skipped Indiana.
Did I skip Indiana? Well, I don't see Indiana on my thing. So maybe the NBA skipped Indiana. Magic, Rockets, Wizards, Raptors, Nets. Brooklyn Nets, Denver Nuggets,
Miami
Heat. Probably Denver is where that streak comes to a close.
Gotta see it to believe it.
Listen, if they go on that 12-game winning streak that you predicted earlier this season, so far that first prediction, which I thought was your best prediction, did not come true. Where you were like at the end of the... No, where you said a 12-game streak, one of them was... It could have either been at the end of November, beginning of December. That one already passed. And I think you said somewhere around here was your second streak. So... I got to go back and listen, but if they hit 12 games with OG Anunoby, hey, it'll be kind of like the Josh Hart streak they had last year when they went 9-0 after he was after he played games with the Knicks.
For sure.
Well,
the trade happened.
So our producer just asked us what happened with the bet from last week. If you're watching the previous episode, we left a note on there saying, hey, if you guys comment on today's episode, now, I guess if you skipped last week's episode, let me say what the bet was. French bet on the Philadelphia 76ers game that Taj Gibson, Jericho Sims, and Isaiah Hartenstein would all play minutes.
And this is before the trade.
This was before the trade. And in the trade, we acquired a big man by the name of Precious Achiuwa.
Yep.
So, because it was a blowout win, the Knicks did indeed play three rotation centers. But they did not play the three that French bet on.
And Taj got waived.
So, well, he got
void.
Waived. We didn't talk
Taj
about
Taj got waived.
He wasn't waived at the time of the game. He could have played minutes over Precious Achiuwa. He did not play minutes over Precious or over Jericho Sims. And if all four of them would have played, you would have won. But all four of them didn't play. And you predicted that somebody would get fouled out by Embiid. That also did not happen. So, I will let you know in a future episode whether French actually holds up his end of the deal. But I think it's safe to say that I won because you specifically named three centers and only two of them played.
I would have been right if we didn't make that trade.
Maybe.
So that on a play.
Or it would have been a close game all the way through and only two guys would have played because Embiid could not foul anybody out because...
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Isaiah Hartenstein played him very well. Did Isaiah Hartenstein get in foul trouble with Embiid? No. So if it was a close game, there definitely would not have been three centers playing in that game. So...
goalpost moving. I don't appreciate
I'm not the one who brought it up. You the one who specifically said
three centers was going to play.
You said Embiid was going to get somebody in foul trouble, two centers in foul trouble, and I don't think he got a single one in foul trouble.
Nah.
So I win for all intents and purposes. If you guys, French said last week, if you want to get in on the bet, that episode did not get released on time, so yep. We left a little note for you on that previous episode. Comment on this. On this episode, if you see this right now, comment on this episode and we will randomly choose a winner who will be eligible to get free merchandise from the Knicks Take podcast.
Yeah.
And we'll work it out with you as far as what design you want. If you want a shirt, you want a hat, you want a mug, something like that. We'll work with you on that. But let's get those comments up. That way we have something to choose from. We're not going to choose a winner if we only get like three comments. No. Tell somebody else to comment. Let's get these subscribers up. Let's get these comments up. I need to see at least 20 comments on this page before I can entertain getting anybody something free. So let's get that going.
Comment null and void if you with me. I'll get you something out of that.
All right. One last thing. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, yeah. No, we have one more thing. I didn't see that. My bad.
Come on now. Jalen Brunson, breaking news. Wins player of the week of the Eastern Conference. So, this is his second time getting this award for the season so far.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you, if he continues to win this award, proving that he's one of the best players in the Eastern Conference.
I don't think anybody cares about this award.
It's an important award.
If he won Eastern Conference Player of the Month, that would be more beneficial to his case.
Can I get the question out first?
You're going to ask me.
Does it begin to make the case for all NBA consideration?
All NBA consideration?
Yeah.
Kurt. How many Eastern Conference Player of the Weeks would it take to be all NBA? I would say four or five. Because that award goes to so many different players. I do really think that the player of the month solidifies that. We got October, November, or actually October, November is in 1 month, December, January, February, March, April. So that's six players who will get Eastern Conference Player of the Month. Yeah, if you get one of those, I think that you have a foolproof argument for that. So if you don't get that, though, four, five, six, depending on how good the rest of your season is. And real quick, if y'all get to this point, I'm going to clip this for y'all. But if y'all get to this point and you're not out there putting in your vote for Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle to be in the All-Star game, shame on you. Like, really, like, if you're a Knicks fan, go ahead, like, make them votes. There's no way that Jalen Brunson should be behind Tyrese Maxey for All-Star. Like, I understand Tyrese Maxey had a great, great start. I'm not knocking Tyrese Maxey. He should be an All-Star. But we've seen it in the game that they played. Jalen Brunson was the best player on the court. Out of all the names, you got Julius Randle, you got Tyrese Maxey, you got Embiid in the court. And who had that scoring stretch that put the game up and out of hand for the Philadelphia 76ers, kind of broke them in the first half? It was Jalen Brunson, man. He's got to be a starter. And if he's not a starter, he at least has to be above in votes over Tyrese Maxey, which I think Tyrese Maxey would be a starter based on the vote calculations. But yeah, let's get them votes out there, man. Vote for Brunson, vote for Randle, who wasn't even listed among the top 15 vote getters for the front court.
There's no reason in hell that Bam Adebayo, Mikal Bridges, Kristaps Porzingis, Kyle Kuzma, and Paolo Banchero have more votes than him.
Kyle Kuzma should not. If by the end of this month the Knicks are ahead of the Magic, Julius Randle should be ahead of Paolo Banchero.
Kyle Kuzma
should not be there. Well, Porzingis should be there.
Over Julius Randle, he's a fourth option.
It doesn't matter. The Celtics gotta get a front court guy in there.
As a starter. Oh my god.
Yeah. The Celtics gotta get two guys. They're the number one seed in the East. They're the championship favorites. And
that would make
I don't think Jaylen Brown should be a starter.
Okay.
Jason Tatum should be there. And the best player I think that they have a case for is Kristaps Porzingis, because he makes that team different. Okay. But anyway, we're running long. I got nothing else to say. French, you know what to do.
Let us know how you're feeling about the team's chances this week in the comments. On top of the other stuff we just asked you out of comment.
Yep.
Null and void if you're on my side.
Like,
but
subscribe.
But outside of that,
hit that notification bell. And we would like to thank you for watching.
We'd like to bid you adieu.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to
the Knicks Take Podcast. Peace out, y'all. Love y'all. Peace.
Bang! Bang! Behind the back. Drives inside.